Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Kuf Hey. We're learning Lilui Nishmas Abraham Martin Avram Abba Ben Harav Mordechai. All the shams we learn for should have an aliyah from our learning. So we begin 15 lines from the top Kuf Hey Omid Aleph. In yesterday's share, we had some Tamidei Chachamim who sent Avua de Shmuel a statement about a Yevama who spit in the Beis Din. So then, by definition, the brothers can no longer do Yibum with her. They have to do Chalitza, even though this technically didn't do anything. The spitting in the basin alone without the removal of the shoe prior technically doesn't do anything, but because of the various gezeiros concerning about the brothers, if we allow this woman to still do yibum with the brothers, people mistakenly think that after a real chalitza, because normally the rekika comes after the chalitza, they're going to think that after a real chalitza, you can still do yibum. So therefore, because of this takol, the rabbi said, if she spits in front of the beis din, so then by definition, the brothers can no longer do yibum. That was the first version that we had of the statement that they sent to Avua de Shmuel. Vika di Amrei, others now suggest, again, picking up 15 lines from the top, Kufei Omer Aleph, Vika di Amrei, others suggest that Haki Shochalei, this is what the Talmidei Chachamim sent to Avua de Shmuel. Yevama Sherakika, if the woman spit in front of the beis din without taking off the person's shoe, without taking off her yavim shoe, tachlots, she has to have undergo chalitza. But it says, in addition, they said ve'ena tzricha larok pam acheres. So they don't disagree with the first version that she no longer can have yibum with the brothers. But they're saying now that when they do the actual chalitza, when they take off the shoe, so she no longer has to do the rekika. She did the rekika once, albeit out of order. And as we'll see, the order is not ma'akev, so therefore she doesn't have to spit a second time. And the Ma'aseh Shoya, ki hayi da asya lekamei de Rav Ami, or Yavim and Yavam came in front of Rav Ami to have the chalitza done. Havi Yosef Rabbi Abba Bamamul kamei, and Rabbi Abba Bamamul was sitting over there, and he saw that she first did the spitting, rakika, mikamei de tachlot, so she did the spitting before she actually removed the shoe from her Yavam. And Omalei Rav Ami said, no, chalotzla, just take off the shoe after you did the spitting, v'sharei lo tigra. And this discomfort, Rashi says, kolomar potter v'shalchanu based it, that this interaction, tigra literally means a fight, but it's saying that this entire event is now done. You've already done the spitting, albeit you did it out of order, but that doesn't ruin anything. The fact that you did the spitting and you did the chalitza out of order, but you did both of them, that's it. The woman is now Chalutza, and she's Muteris Lashuk. Rabbi Abba, who saw this, said, wait a second, Rabbi, I'm like Rabbi Abba, Vaboin and Merach, but she didn't spit. Don't you have to do the spitting after the chalitza, after the physical removal of the sandal or the footwear from the Yavam's right foot? So what Rabbi Ami says, she spat. Doesn't make a difference. She spat before or afterwards. No, Rabbi Abba says, but Rabbi, the Seirok, let her spit again. What's the big deal? This way we can do it in the order, and this way we'll have it done kiseder rather than having to accept it somewhat of a bid the other way out of the order. So Rav Ami said, no, that's dangerous, because nofak minei churba, a terrible takolu could come from this, because people will see that she spat, and then they're going to see that they do the chalitza, and people are going to see that if we allow her to spit again, the amris tehad of a seirok, that she should spit a second time, they're going to say, amre rikika kamaiso lesba mishosha. People are going to see this and say, oh, the reason why they spit the second time is because the order is ma'akev. You must do the removal of the shoe followed by the spitting. And if you only had the removal of the shoe after the spitting, the chalitza is not good. And you know what's going to happen? People are going to think that she's still eligible to have yibum with the brothers. They're going to say, Rikiko kamaisa lesba mashashovi osi lemishri chalutza liachen. And they're going to say, you know what? She's not yet a chalutza. And therefore, if the brothers change their mind and they say, listen, we decided we want to do yibum rather than do chalitza, it's going to lead to a terrible takola. In fact, this woman is a full chalutza and she's aser now to her former yavam because it's eishes ach shalobim wakumitza. But they're not going to realize that because people are going to say that they had to spit the second time. It must be because the first time the spitting wasn't good. But in the first time, the fact the spitting was good, albeit bid the evet. Where it says, but what about this, that you need to have kiseder, for being a kisidron? So Rabbi Abba said, What about that? And Rav Ami said, no, Kisidron Loma Akva. No, the order is not Makiv. Yes, you should have done it in the right order, but if you did it out of order, it's perfectly acceptable. Now, Rabbi Abba thought that Rav Ami was just pushing him aside. Who saw that? Rabbi Abba thought, Dachuye Kor Matchile. He was just pushing him aside. Yeah, no, okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It doesn't have to be in order. But then, Nafak, he went out, Dok, he investigated the Ashkach, and he found that, in fact, that is 100% the din. Rav Ami, of course, was 100% right. The Tanya, because the Brisa says, the Feirish, this. Bein shehikdim chalitza l'rikika, bein shehikdim rikika l'chalitza, masha osa osui. The Brisa says, beferish, that the order is not ma'akev. Yes, you should do the order correctly. You should do the saying of some parts of the psukim, then take off the shoe, the right shoe, from the right foot of the Yavam, then you do the Rikika, and then you say the rest of the Psukim, and that's the right way to do it. Kisidron lo ma'akva, however. But if you don't do it in that order, it's not ma'akev. And that's exactly what the Brisa says, exactly like Rav Ami, and that's why Rabbi Abba said, oh, Rabbi Ami was 100% correct. Now we have an interesting story. This story is discussed elsewhere in the Yerushalmi and elsewhere in the Bavli, that Levi was sent by Rebbe to become the Rebbe in a certain town. Rav Yehuda Nasi sent one of his star pupils, Levi, to become the Rav in a certain town, but when they asked him some questions, which we'll see three of them right now, Levi did not know the answer. In any event, Levi Nofak Likiryosa. Levi went to this town, as the Yerushalmi elsewhere tells us, to be the Rebbe. Rashi elsewhere also fills in information. He says, Lis Asek Bavodas Achuzasom. He went to go and work there, as the Gemara in Bracha says. Others say he went to the Kfarim Liros Bitruos, to went to see how the crops were doing over there, or to see how the fields were doing. Different Rashi, slightly different in different parts of Shas where this story is brought up. In any event, he went to this place, to this city, and they asked him the following three shailas. The first two are more halachic, the second, the last one, is more of an agadita. They knew that he was a big Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rebbe, had sent them, so he knew he was a Talmud Chacham. They just didn't know maybe these areas that were asking him weren't his areas of expertise, so they asked him in a somewhat wider range for the third question. In any event, they asked him the first question, a gidemis. Now here we're talking about the Yavama has no hands. Rachmon Lutzlan, the Yavama she took to Linamite, whatever the situation was, she never has no hands. Mahu shetachlots, is she allowed to go and use her teeth? Rashi says, bishineha. Is she allowed to go and do, with her teeth, the removal of the shoe? She can grab onto the shoe and remove it with her teeth. Is that an adequate chalitza? That was question number one. Number two, Yavama shirakika dam. If the Yavama, when she's supposed to spit, but she had blood in her mouth, whatever the reason was, she spat blood as opposed to saliva. Mahu, is that considered rikika, or is that considered, no, that she spit dam, and that's not saliva, and therefore it's not a good rikika? That was the second question that they asked him. The third question was, they quoted the following pasuk from Daniel. Rashi explains, Mikrahu b'Daniel, this is a maisa towards the end of Sefer Daniel, Shamalach Amalo, the Malach tells Daniel the following pasuk, Avol agid l'cho es harashum b'ksav emes. The Malach tells Daniel that I'm going to show you something in Shemayim that is emes, that was written down in emes, which implies, Rashi says, Michlal, as the Gemara tells us, de'iko kisav she'eno emes, aloshun bismia. When it says that the Malach told Daniel, I'll show you something that's written down in emes, the implication of that is that there are things in Shemayim that are not emes, chas v'sholom, aloshun bismia. How could this possibly be? So these were the three questions that they asked Levi, and lo, haba b'yodeh. He didn't know the answers to any of these three questions. No, like a very good Talmud, he goes and asks, finds out the answer. Also, shobi midrasha. So he went to the Beis Medrash to see if anybody in the Beis Medrash knew the answer to these three questions. So the people in the Beis Medrash said, yeah, these are the following answers. Does the pasuk say that you have to do chalitza biyad? It just says she has to remove, the yavama has to remove the shoe from the oven's foot. Miksiv, the chalitza biyad. Therefore, it's perfectly acceptable as long as she removes it herself, to even do so with her teeth. If Rachman al-Lusan, she's a gidemis and she doesn't have hands. So that's the answer to number one. Yes, as long as she removes the shoe from the foot, even if it's not with her hands, if it's with her teeth, it's acceptable. Question number two, if she spat blood, does that count as the rakika that she has to do in front of him, or does it have to be clear saliva? So again, the Talmidim, the Smedrish told him, umiksiv yorka rauk. Where does it say in the pasuk that she has to spit? Spittle. It just says she has to spit. And if blood comes out, blood comes out. Whatever the reason, she has a bloody mouth, so she spits blood. So that is perfectly acceptable. That was the answer to question number two. And the stira for the pasuk of Daniel seeming to say, "Avol agid l'cho es haroshim b'tzav emes v'chiyesh tzav sheino emes." lo kasha. That's also not a question. This seeming stira that the Malach told Daniel, I'll show you some things that are written down with MS, implying that there are some things, chas v'shalom, that aren't written with MS, that's not a stira. In fact, the Malach was telling Daniel the following, Kan b'gzar din shi'esi moshua. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu swears to something, then that's emes. That's absolutely going to happen. There's no way that that gzar din is not going to occur. However, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes down a gzar din but doesn't swear to it, so to say, so there's room for it to be eradicated. Kan b'gzar din shi'esi moshua, that is, so to say, not emes. Emes doesn't mean here truth. Of course it's truth, but there's the potential to uproot it. It's like if a Navi gives a good Nevuah, so that Nevuah always will come true. But if a Navi gives Nebuch a bad Nevuah, for example, like Yonah, who told the city of Nineveh, you're going to be destroyed, but it's unless they do tshuva. If they do tshuva, so then the Nevuah can be removed. And that's what it means, that in Shemayim, there are some that are truthful, meaning that they're absolutely going to come through. There is no way to stop them. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore that this is going to happen. And Kavi Yochel, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't swear that it's going to happen, so of course it's true, but there's a chance to go and change it. And therefore, the truth changes, but not chas v'shalom, that there's anything other than emes in Shemayim. And this answer to question number 3 goes in accord with what Rav Shmuel Bar Ami said. What did he say? Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, Amar Yonah's son. Rav Shmuel Bar Ami said, Amar Yonah's son. Minayin ligzar din sheyesh bo shvua, sheyesh imo shvua, sheyenu miskoraya. How do we know that if there's a shvua attached to the gzar din, that that can't be ripped up? It can't go away, can't be nullified. That's because it's based upon the following pasuk that we have from Shmuel Aleph. When Nebuch, two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinchas, sinned by delaying the women to bring their korbanos, and therefore they stayed away from the husband. So it says as if they committed adultery by keeping the women separate from the husbands. Not chas v'shalom that Hophni and Pinchas really committed adultery, but it says over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to Eli, and he said, Shenemar, Lochei nishbati l'beis Eli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to Eli and to his descendants that they will never ever have this curse go away. Imiskaper avon beis Eli, if this sin that they did will ever become atoned for, by just bezevach ubemincha, by bringing korbanos and flower offerings ad olam, forever. In other words, this curse is going to be on the house of Eli for all eternity. Now, Omer Rabba, Rabba says about this, there is still a positive over here in this statement that was said over to the house of Eli. Bezevach ubemincha in a miskaper, you can't get an atonement for this sin by just bringing korbanos. However, there is a way to get an atonement even for the house of Eli, even for the children of Eli, as we'll see in a moment. Avo miskaper b'divrei Torah. Learning of Torah can be megan. It can protect you and can bring about a kapara that the children, the descendants of the house of Eli, will not die at a very young age. In fact, one of the ideas that we'll bring down from the Orech Lener is that the children died before the age of 18 or 20. They died at a very young age. And we'll give an example from a family that all died before the age of 18 is because normally we say ben shmona esrei l'chuppah, and therefore this is a mida keneged mida, that the children of Eli, because of Hophni and Pinchas, that they delayed the women to go back to their husbands by not bringing their korbanos, so they weren't pure to go back to their husbands yet. So therefore, they had to stay overnight to bring the korbanos the next day, and therefore they stayed away another night from their husband, so they were punished that they didn't get to go to the chuppah to be with their husbands or wives respectively, because they delayed the women to get to their husbands, so they're delayed forever from getting to their husbands or wives. Okay, so that's the Orech Lener, a beautiful idea. In any event, Rabba says, at least we have the Girsa Rabba, there are those that say that the Girsa should be Rava, but we'll keep it with the Girsa Rabba. Rabba says that the learning of Torah can be megan, miskapu b'divrei Torah, even though the avoda, the zevach and mincha, which normally would give an atonement, won't work in this situation, but the learning of Torah can protect you. Abaya adds on, according to most, Abaya is saying, yes, I agree with you, divrei Torah can certainly be megan, but Abaya says, in addition to divrei Torah, while b'zevach v'mincha and miskaper, avu miskaper, not only with divrei Torah, but b'gmilus chasodim, or some suggest with both, divrei Torah and gmilus chasodim, then you'll certainly be able to get a kapara, even to the children, the descendants of Eli, to be somewhat protected from the curse that was on the house of Eli. Now, l'maisa, according to the case that we have, this is Rabbah, others say again it's Rava. Rabbah and Abaye themselves were from the house of Eli. Rabbah and Abaye made the base Eli ka'asu, and they should have been cursed, Rachmona Litzlan, by dying at a very young age. Nevertheless, they lived to an older age, not a very, very old age, but Rabbah, the Osak B'Torah, Rabbah, who followed through on what he's saying, that you should learn Torah to protect yourselves, so he lived an extra 20 years because of his learning of the Torah. He's supposed to die at the age of 20, and instead he died at the age of 40. Rabbah, the Osak B'Torah, Choya Arbin Shnin, He lived 40 years of age. And Abaye, who did both, according to our understanding, that it meant not just learning Torah and Gemilas HaSodim, Abaye Dosek B'Torah Uvi Gemilas HaSodim, he did both. So you got 20 years for the learning of the Torah and 20 years for the Gemilas HaSodim. So Chaya Shisin Shin. So he lived an extra 40 years, 20 and 20, above the 20 that he would normally have been allotted, coming from the house of Eli. Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa tells us the Ma'aseh Sahaya, Mishpach Achas Hayisa B'Yerushalayim, Shehu Meisim, Keben Shmon Esrei Shana. There was this family that lived in Yerushalayim that never all their children would die at the age of 18. Bo Vodiyah was Rabbi Yochum Zakkai, so the family went to Rabbi Yochum Zakkai to ask for his help. What can you do to save us from all of our children dying at a young age? Some of them, so he says to them, Nu, maybe, Shemam Mishpachas Eliatem. It's very possible that you come from the family of Eli, which it said about Nebuch, the family of Eli. So the Pasuk Shmuel Aleph tells us about the curse. Mar bis beisicha yemusu anoshem. Anybody who's raised in your house is going to die, Rachman al-Islam, as a young man. So that's why they're dying at the age of 18. So the Marashah says over here that the Ben Shmon Esrei L'Chuppah concept is the idea that you're not considered a man until you get married. So that's why, until the age of 18, when it wasn't yet Ben Shmon Esrei L'Chuppah, so they died at the age of 18. In any event, that's why they lived till the age of 18 and only died when they now were a man. And it says yemusu anoshem. So what did Rabbi Yochum Zakkai suggest to them? L'chu v'yizku b'Torah v'sichyu. So he took the advice of Rabbah and Abaye. Of course, they came after Rabbi Yochum Zakkai, but this was a well-known idea. And he told the family, listen, teach your children Torah, spend time learning Torah, and in this way they will go and be able to live longer. That's what they did. Holchu v'yizku b'Torah v'chayu. And in fact, it was successful. And this family was so thankful to Rabbi Yochum Zakkai, v'yukorin oso mishpachas Yochanan al-Shemo. And they call themselves now the family of Rabbi Yochum Zakkai, the family of Yochanan, based upon this wonderful etzah that Rabbi Yochum Zakkai had given to them that stopped their children from dying at a very young age. Hashem should protect all of us. The learning of our Daf Yomi, the learning of other Torah that we learn, should be, Yimitz Hashem, a wonderful protection for ourselves and for our families. Arishmo bar Unya, I'm a Rav. Rishmo bar Unya is the name of Rav. Minayin ligzardin shel tzibur shenon echtam. Just like we just said, the Malach told Daniel that there's certain things in Shemayim that are absolutely written down in stone and are going to happen. So Rishmo bar Unya is the name of Rav, that there are certain gezeros, however, against the tzibur that never get sealed. In other words, a gezero on a tzibur can always be overcome. A bad gezer on a tzibur, if they do tshuva properly, can always be overcome. It's not sealed. It's eino nechtam. It's not signed and sealed. So Gemara says, really, eino nechtam? Is it not sealed? But the pasuk tells us, pasuk in Yirmiyahu tells us beferish that it is sealed. Voksiv kiim techabsi baneser v'sarbi lochboros. Even if Klai Yisrael, you go and clean yourself with all sorts of various detergents, neser and boris, various types of detergents, and lots of soap and lots of niter. That's how they translate the neser and the boris. So nevertheless, nichtom your kesem. Avonech lefanei will always be in front of me. So in other words, it is sealed, so to say. It's permanent. It's always going to be in front of me. So how can you say the Xera and the Tzibur is not permanent? It says it's permanent over here. So you're going against another Yirmiyahu. So Gemara says, no, that's not what Rav said. Elo minayin shafilu nechtam miskareh. You know, even though it is permanent, it is signed, and it's sealed, so to say, even if you wash it with lots of detergent, it's still going to, the stain is still going to be present, nechtam avonech lefonai, but nevertheless, the pasuk tells us, shenemar, and the whole pasuk is as follows, ki mi goy godol asher lo elokim kovim elov, kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov. So it teaches us over here, we always have the opportunity, b'chol koreinu elov, no matter what has been signed and sealed in Shemayim, a true tshuva will never be turned aside. And therefore, there's always the potential, even if it's sealed and signed and it's permanent in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it still can get ripped up. A true tshuva can overcome anything. Ayahuasca says, there's another pasuk that says, Oksiv, Dir Hashem bi Matzo. This is from the famous Haftorah. It tells us we have to go seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he is able to be found. So Dir Hashem only bi Matzo, which implies not at all times. So we have the famous answer that's given more Rosh Hashanah in other places, Lokasha or B'yochid or B'tzibor. An individual may not be successful in doing tshuva at any point in time, but the tzibor can do tshuva at any point in time, and the tshuva always, a true tshuva from the tzibor, always can be potentially successful and prevent the calamity from occurring on the tzibor. So the Gemara now asks, okay, so a yachid, when is that time, Dirshu Hashem b'matzo, if you're referring to that's only a yachid, can only call out to a Kodesh Baruch at certain times, yachid eimas, so when should the yachid go call out? So this is the famous idea of the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. As we see, Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabbi Baravua, Rav Nachman claimed in the name of Rabbi Baravua, Elu Asar Yomim Shebein Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, that period of time, is especially good time for a person to do tshuva. And the Gemara elsewhere discusses, it's not to say chas v'sham that you can't do tshuva all year long. It's just that it's easier, it's more mesugal, it's more likely that your tshuva during the Aseres Mei Tshuva will be beneficial to you. That's why, of course, we do have the Aseres Mei Tshuva, but not chas v'sham to suggest that a person can't do tshuva all year long. That's the maskana of the Gemara elsewhere. A person can always do tshuva at any point in time, even an individual. Okay. Now they sent, the Talmidim sent another statement to Avodah Shmuel. Shalchalele Avodah Shmuel, Yevama Shirachiko Dam Tachlot. If the Yevama spat blood, so then that's considered that the brothers can no longer do Yibam with her. As we've already mentioned, it doesn't make a difference. The second question that they asked the lady was if she spit blood, is that count? And the Talmidim Vesmedi said, yes, that counts Tachlot. Why? Why is that true? Because the Gemara says, "Lefi she'ef sholid dam belot sach tzoach rok." So this is what they said to Avodah Shmuel. They said the reason why, even though you spat blood, that that's considered good, is because there is always going to be saliva there. Before we had said that the pasuk doesn't require the base measures. They said the pasuk doesn't require that it be spitting saliva, but here they're saying that even if you did say that the pasuk says you have to spit saliva, it's impossible for there to be blood without being saliva there as well, and therefore that's why. It's a perfectly good rakika. If they did this in front of the base, then the woman no longer can have yibum with the brothers. So more questions. This and says, wait a second, Meisve. We have a brisa that discusses Azov's discharges. Azov's discharges are normally considered like an avatuma. So in this situation, yachol yehi dam hayotzi mipiv umipio amatame. So one might have thought that since the saliva of a Zov has the status of being an avatuma, and the discharge that comes out from the genital area has the status of being a avatuma. So one might have thought that if blood comes out from either of those two places, that would also have the status of being an avatuma. So Talmud Lomar, so that's not true. The Brisa says, Zovo tome, only the normal things that come out from there are in fact tome. The ein dam hayotzi mipiv, and blood that comes out from his mouth is not spittle. Or mipi or ama, and blood that comes out from his genital area, from the gid, is tome. Is not considered tamei. Ein dama yosi mipiv mipi amo tamei elatar. It is not considered tamei. It is considered tar. So it's not an avatuma. So how can you tell me that if there is definitely saliva mixed in with the blood, that this shouldn't be mitame like an avatuma? So the Brisa seems to go against what they sent to Avodah Shmuel. So Mor says, Lokash, it's not a problem. It depends how the blood comes out. Kabi motzetzes. Motzetzes is when you're sucking something and something comes out. So then that's an active process, and there's no way that if you're sucking something and you spit it out, that it won't have saliva there as well. Or you have the concept of mitzitza bepeh. You have mitz anovim. These are lushonos of pressing or squeezing. So in this situation where there's an active spitting out process, so there's no way that there isn't saliva there as well. And that's why in regards to the yavama that spits out some blood, she's doing an active process, so there's no way there's not saliva there as well. However, when you're dealing with kan bishoses, if something just drips out, so a little bit of blood drips out of the mouth, so then that could actually just be blood and not necessarily have any spit inside of that blood that just leaked out, just dripped out of the mouth. Okay. Now we go back and quote the Mishnah. It says, Cheresh, Shenech, Latzu, Chule. We had said in the Mishnah that if the chalitz was formed on a man who was not mentally competent, he was a Cheresh, he had inability to speak and to hear, or if the woman was a Chereshes, she had the Nebuch, both disabilities of not being able to speak or to hear, or we said if the Yavama did the chalitza on a Yavam who was a Katan, in all of these situations we said the chalitza was no good. And we turn to Kufay on the base. And the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Sudiv Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir. That the woman no longer can have yibam done by her brothers. However, our chacham omrim ein chalitzas katan klum, that if this yavama did the chalitza on a 9-year-old boy, on a 10-year-old boy, that's nothing. It doesn't count as a chalitza. And if the brothers still want to do yibam after that, so then brothers can still do yibam. The chalitza hasn't severed any bond of zika between the yavama and the brothers. There's a machlokas amongst the poskim if this is only true for the third of the three statements that our Mishnah made. Only when the Yavama does a chalitza with the katan does Rebbe Meir say that it's no good and the brothers can't do yibam anymore. And that's true for all three cases, or is it only true for the last case that Rebbe Meir is only referring to the case of the Yavama who does the chalitza on a katan? But in fact, the Chachamim, when they say Ein Chalitzas Katan Klum, is only on that case, and they agree with Rebbe Meir on the first two cases, or do they also argue with Rebbe Meir on the first two cases as well? That's a machlokus amongst the poskim. Then we quote the Mishnah. It said, Kitana Shechotzu Chule, if the Yavamah herself was a Kitana when she did the Chalitza, so we use the Lashon, she had to go do the Chalitza again when she becomes Gedola, and if not, then the Chalitza that she did when she was a Kitana is not considered a good Chalitza. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. So Rav Yehuda Marav says and comments on this as well. He says, Zu Dibur Rebeir. This is also the opinion of Rebeir. Rebeir darshens out the Omar Ish Kosov Beparsha, that the Parsha uses the Lashon of an Ish, that the Yavam has to be a man. Umakshinon Isha Leisha. And just like the Yavam has to be a man, so too we make a Hekish and say that the woman has to be a full-fledged Isha. So they both, the Yavam has to be above Bar Mitzvah, and the Yavama has to be above Bat's Mitzvah. They both have to be adults. Isha, Leish, there's a Hekish, the woman and the man. And just like the Pasuk says, the man has to be an adult, so too the woman has to be an adult. That's the opinion of Reb Meir. Acham disagree. Abacham Amrim, Ish Kusim Parsha, Isha, Bein Gedola, Bein Ketana is acceptable. Only by the man does it say Ish. But since it doesn't say the woman has to be a gedola, so by the woman, the chacham hold, we don't make the hekish isha leish, and in fact, the woman, whether she's a gedola, whether she's a katana, if she does a proper chalitza physically, so then the chalitza counts. So the machlokas here is between Rabbi and the chachamim. Who are these chachamim? Man chachamim, Rabbi Yossi. This is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Now, how do we know that Rabbi Yossi holds that the chalitza that's done by a woman who is a yavama, that she's a katana, is a good chalitza? That's going to be based upon the following drasha. The Rechia of Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi Habayase, that Rabbi Chia, the star pupil of Rabbi, was sitting with Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. They were sitting and learning Habayase. At Pasachad Minayim Yabba, one of them, we don't know which one, whether it was Rechia or Rabbi's son, Rabbi Shimon, said the following, HaMispalot Tzor Sheitein Ein of Lamata. When a person is davening, they should be looking towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the ground, Lamata. As Rashi says, Adi Rabbi Tzor Ein of Lamata, Klape Eretz Yisrael, Mishum Deshchina Hasum, because that's where the Shechina is. Can you see if all you Einai v'libai shom, as the pasuk now says, v'hayu einai v'libai shom kol hayomim. We quote the pasuk from Malachim Aleph. So therefore, one of the two said that you, when you're davening, you should look down towards Eretz Yisrael. V'charemar, the other one said, no, look up, einav l'mala. You should look up towards Shemayim. What is this based upon? Shenemar, the pasuk tells us there's also a pasuk that we have from Eicha, a famous pasuk, Nisa levavenu el kapayim, we lift our hearts with our hands towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim, and therefore we should daven towards Shemayim. Now, we have these two conflicting ideas. You daven facing, so to say, towards the ground or facing towards Shemayim. So the Gemara says, Adhochi also Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi l'gabayu. So the great Rabbi Shmuel, who is the son of Rabbi Yossi, comes before them and he says, Amalu, b'maya skisu, what new? What are you learning? What are you talking about? Let me join you in learning. So Amalei, they told him, b'tfila. They said, well, we have two different opinions over here. One of us says that you should daven, so to say, with your facing towards Eretz Yisrael, the ground. The other one says you should face towards Shemayim. So Amar Lahu, so Yishmael B'Rosh Rav Yossi said, Kachem Rabba, so did my great father, Rav Yossi. And that's why we're bringing this over here to teach us Rav Yossi's opinion. He said, when you daven, Hispalel, the one who's davening, Hamispalel, Tzorech Sheyitein Einav Lamata, you keep your eyes towards the ground, V'libo Lamala, and you keep your heart connected Shemayim. And this way you fulfill both of these psukim. So your physical orientation is you don't daven with your eyes straight up towards Shemayim. You daven straight looking ahead, looking towards the ground. But your heart is towards Shemayim. And this is brought down in La Halacha, that when you're davening, for example, something like Shemoneh Esrei, you don't look up at Shemayim, but you look straight ahead, or you can look towards the ground. Now, obviously, you can look towards your sitter, and that's perfectly acceptable, but your heart should be L'Shemayim. And in this way, Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yosef said, my father said, this way you can be kind both of the psukim, as I just said, Kadesh Yiskaimu, Shnei Mikros Halo, you fulfill both of these psukim. No. Adahachi also Rabbi Limasifta. Meanwhile, these three of them were sitting there, and now Rabbi comes to the base medrash. Inu Dahava Kalile, those that were very fast on their feet, Yesivu Beduch Tayu, they were quickly to go sit down, they didn't have to step on other people. But Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, who the Gemara elsewhere describes as being somewhat obese, so Agav Yukre, because of his heaviness, because of his obesity, Havim Afasei V'Ozel. He couldn't walk so fast, and he had to step on people in order to get to his place. He sat all the way up in the front, and he had to step on people because he couldn't get so quickly like the other more light-footed people did. So I'm like, Abdon. Who is Abdon? So Tosus over here says, in the Yerushalmi, he's known as Abba Yudin. And this was like a nickname, or a combination of his name, Abba Yudin Abdon. So they say real fast, Abdon comes from Abba Yudin. And anyway, he said to Rishon Rabbi Yossi, who are you? Did you step on other people? Mi uzeh shemafaseya al roshe am kodosh. How dare you go and step on the holy Talmidim? What right do you have to do that? So Amalei, Rishon Rabbi Yossi said to this Abdon, Ani Yishmael Rabbi Yossi. I'm Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Shabbosi Lomo Torah Rabbi. I came here to learn from Rabbi. I don't have any choice. I have to get to my seat, and I don't have any other choice. Now, the Aruch Lanier says that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was being very humble here. He could have said the real reason that he had the right to go do this was, he says, I'm here to make sure that Rabbi is familiar with the teachings of my father. I'm sort of like also giving the shir, and Rabbi Yossi, my father's opinions, I have to make sure that Rabbi is aware of them. But he didn't want to sound arrogant, so he said, I'm coming to learn at the footsteps of Rabbi. Okay, so this Abdon was upset at Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and he talked to him a little bit too harshly. And then he tells him, Amalei, Abdon tells this, Abba Yudin says to Rishwar Renovish Rabbi Yossi, V'chiyata hogin lumo tori Rebbe, you're saying you come to learn by Rebbe. Who are you that you have the right to go and step on Tamidim to go learn by Rebbe? Who are you that you should learn by Rebbe? So Amalei, Rishwar Rabbi Yossi tells Abdon, Amalei, V'chimosha haya hogin lumo tori v'yagura, what are you questioning my ability to go and learn Torah from Rebbe, that I'm a Gurnisht? And compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was a Gurnisht, yet he went to go and learn by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I too, even though I'm a Gurnisht, I could go and learn by Rabbi. So Amalei, so Abdon is furthermore upset at Rabbi Shmuel Benoshu Yossi. And he says, Luchi Moshe Ata, you're comparing yourself to Moshe? So Rabbi Shmuel gives it right back, and he says to Abdon, Amalei, Luchi Rabcho Elokimo, and is your Rabbi, is he HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So again, there was this interesting exchange of words between Abdon and Shmuel Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi says, Shakli Rebbe, Lemitrafase, Rebbe was punished for not defending Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. Al Shishoma Velo Micha. He didn't protest the way that Abdon spoke to Rabbi Shmuel. So therefore, Rebbe got a little shtuch over here. Shakli Rebbe, Lemitrafase, he was given, so to say, a little bit of a punishment over here, in that the Karmelei Rabcha, when Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi said to Abdon, and is your master, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, Rabcho, your master, but lo Rabbi, but he's not my master. In other words, Rabbi, for not defending the honor of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, so to say, was a little bit dishonored from the fact that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi didn't refer to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi, as his Rabbi. He said, you're Abdon's Rabbi, but you're not my Rabbi. No, Adahachi Asu Yavom Lekami the Rabbi. No, this story gets to the point that we want to get to right now to teach us what the halacha is according to Rabbi Yossi. That's why we brought this entire long story down. No, while they're sitting there learning, Adahachi Asu Yavom Lekami the Rabbi. A Maisa Shaya, a Yavom comes to Rabbi, and Amalei, Rabbi Li Abdon, and Rabbi goes and tells his Talmud Abdon, Puk Bodka, go and see if she's a Gedola. Have them do a proper examination of her. How you exactly do this, the Gemara doesn't discuss. The Gemara elsewhere says that they would have the women go and examine her and say, yes, she has shtei saros or not. So Puk Badka, go and check her out. And Abdon went to go and check her out. Labasa de Nafak, however, after Abdon left, Amalei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi, Gacha Marabba, this is the opinion of my father, Rabbi Yossi, Ish Kosu the Parsha. It only says in the Parsha that a man has to be a Gadol, but a woman who's the Yavama, Avalisha, so Ben Gadol, Ben Kitana, she's allowed to go and give Chalitza. So he darshins, this is what we see, that Rabbi Yossi's opinion was that only the Yavam has to be a man, but the Yavama could actually be a Kitana, and the Chalitza would still be good. So quickly, Rabbi calls him back. Amalei, Rabbi says to Abdon, Ta lo tzrichta, you don't have to go. We don't need you to go and check out to see if she's a Gedola or not, because Kvar Hora Zokin, because we know the opinion of Yossi, and we can rely upon the opinion of Yossi, that by Chalitza, the woman can even be a Kitana. The Yavama could be a Kitana. The Marketina says, Komifsa Abdon Yossi. So Abdon, who had already left the base medrash, now comes back into the base medrash, but all the people are sitting there, so he has to step on them in order to get back to his place. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says to him, Mishit Sarich Lo Am Kadosh, Yefaseh Aroshi Am Kadosh. Somebody who's needed, in other words, I was needed here to give the Shia, so to say, with Rabbi, to teach him what my father, Rabbi Yossi, had said. So I was allowed to go and step on people's head to get to my place. Somebody who's needed can go step on other people, but you're not needed here. Mishain Sarach Lo'am Kadosh, what are you doing over here? You're not serving any purpose in teaching them. Hechi Fasal Roshi Am Kadosh, what gives you the right to now go step on these people? Amalei Rabbi Li Abdon. So Rabbi heard what Rabbi Shmuel Riosi said. He said, Takli, he's 100% right. He told Abdon, Kum Beduchtech, stand where you are. You don't have the right to come closer and get to your normal place because you'd be stepping on the other people's heads. You'd be stepping over them, and you don't have the right to do so. Tana, we learn in the following braisa, Biosa Shah, Nitzara Abdon. At that moment, Abdon was given his punishment for talking harshly to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. He didn't have the right to do that. And the braisa says, Abdon got saras at that moment in time. And not only that, Vitovu Shnei Bonov, and Nebuch, he had two sons who drowned. again, they were deserving of drowning. It's not because of what Abdon did, but any protection that he might have been able to give them wasn't there to protect his two sons. And Nebuchadnezzar, his two sons, drowned. And the Gemara in Daf Kuf Ches will tell us this story, Umanu Shtei Kalosa. And he had two daughters-in-law, and both of them did Mia. They were both Kitanim, and they married as Kitanim. And the Gemara in Kuf Ches will tell us that they both did Mia with their husbands. So he lost his two sons, and in addition, his two daughter-in-laws did Mia. Amar Nachman Yitzchak, Berich Rachmana. So he's saying this was a very good thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Abdon. Berich Rachmana, the Kasvili Abdon, Bahai Amma, he embarrassed Abdon in this world. He caused him this trouble in this world, and not Rachmana Lassan to not punish him in this world and have all the punishment come in the Olam HaEmes when it would be much, much more difficult. And a very difficult story for us to understand, but what we can take from this is that a person has to be tremendously respectful of Talmidei Chacham Abdon, who was a Talmud Chacham himself. He's a Talmud Rebbe. He was a person that Rebbe sent to do things for him. Nevertheless, he was disrespectful to the great Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yossi, and as a result, he was punished very, very severely. Amar Vami, Rami says, Midvaru shel Berebi nilmod. We can learn over here the words of Berebi. Berebi is like the God Lador. It's like the title of Shlita Rashbahag. We see from here the Kitana Choletzes Bipuutos. We see that Rabbi Yossi had said that a Kitana, a woman who is a Kitana, if she's a Yavama, she's allowed to do the Chalitza, but as long as she is Bipuotos, as long as she's reached a certain stage of maturity, a baby can't go and do Chalitza. You have the baby sitting there, and the baby drools all the time, and then the baby pulls off the shoe, is playing as a two-year-old baby, that's not considered a Chalitza. Kitana Choletzes Bipuotos, as long as she has reached a certain age, called Bipuotos. Rashi explains, Kiputos means kibar shis, kibar sheva, like a 6 or 7 year old girl, like we're more in Gittin. Haputos mechon mekach umemkra memkra. The age at which a child's sale is considered halachically binding the rabbanon. And this is talking about mimetaltel. And therefore, the inyan chalitza, hoel, the lo ksiv miut kshera. It doesn't limit it, so therefore, this would be acceptable by chalitza as well. That's the opinion of Ravami. Rava disagrees. Rava Mar, Ashtagia, Lones Nadarm, until she's 11 years old. That's called the time of the Nadarm. There's opinions that say that the girl from 11 to 12, or the boy from 12 to 13, the Nadarm are Chal Midaraisa. So when she reaches that age, so that's what Rav Yossi was talking about in terms of allowing Chalitza to be done. How do we pass the Hilchasa? Asher Tovi Shtei Saros. Bottom line is, we don't pass it like this. We require it to have Shtei Saros. We actually pass it like Rav Meir in this situation, and not like Rav Yossi, which is very unusual. We normally pass like Rav Yossi over Rav Meir. But many suggest that that's only lechatchila, and therefore, b'diavad, we would passing like Rav Yossi, that if she in fact did a chalitza, so then they certainly couldn't do yibim anymore, and while the Mishnah had stated that when she gets to the age of a gedola, she should do the chalitza again, just to be yossi all the opinions. Mark continues by quoting the Mishnah, cholso b'shnayim v'chule. We had the story at the end of the Mishnah, which we had already brought down in the previous Gemara, that if a chalitza was done in front of only two judges, not three judges, the Tanakhama held that that was not good. You needed three judges, but Rav Shimon, Rav Yochanan, and Sandler had said that two judges would be acceptable. Then we had brought down the opinion previously, which we'll now see in the Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva said even a single judge would be good.
We don't paskin like these two, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yochanan Sander.
Again, remember we had this actually quoted earlier in the Gemara. We said it was correct, but it was inappropriate. It wasn't necessary in the previous place because we weren't interested in this opinion right then. But here is where its proper place is, that we don't paskin according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan, who said over the name of Rabbi Nachman, we don't ein halach yosar zuk. Fine. Gemara says, "V'Amar Rav Nachman Chodu Zimin." Rav Nachman already taught this to us one time. Where did he say it? The Amar Rav Yosef Bar Ben Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman Chalitza B'Shlosha. He said that you require three. Doesn't that mean that we don't pass them like these two Tanoim, Rav Shimon, Rav Yochanan, Sandler, who say that two is acceptable? So Gemara says, "No, you need both of the two statements that we paskin over here." That you need three, and that we don't paskin like this Oso Zug, which says two. Now, why is it not a duplication? Tzrich, you need both. Because the Itmar Hachkamaisa, if he only told us the first statement that the Chalitza requires three, you know what I would have said? That's the Chachila. Hava mina hanimil Chachila. I will be the Eved Afilu Trey. I would have said, yeah, we pocket, you need three, l'chatchila. Everybody should turn to have three. But no, if after the fact it were two, or if one of the judges was found to be a kor of apostle, so then b'di evad would be good. So that's why Kamash Vloni has to tell us, ein halacha ke'oso azog, that we don't pocket like Rav Shimon or Yochanan Sadler, even b'di evad. No, and tell me that then, v'yashmina, that ein halacha ke'oso azog, and then I'll know that in fact, that even b'di evad, it's not good. But then I would have said that elo kitana kama, that
You're telling me that we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that would be an implication. That would imply habamina bidyevid. That would only be bidyevid that we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that three are acceptable bidyevid. But remember, we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says abu lechachila liboy chamisha, that actually you need five. So therefore, I would have thought that if we just said that the halach is not like that oso zog, that means even bidyevid we don't accept two, but bidyevid we would accept three. But lechachila you need five. So therefore, tricha, that's why you need the second statement that says no, we passing that lechalitza lechachila you need three. So each of the accenting one that you need three and the two aren't good is to come to teach us that three is good lechachila and two is not even good bidyevid. So that's why Rav Nachman had to say it twice. Finally, we mentioned with the Mishnah, Maisa Shecholtzu v'chule, there was this Maisa where a single judge did a chalitza, and that was considered acceptable according to Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, Beino leveino miyadana. But if there was no one really observing this, it was just between him, like the Mishnah implies, Beino leveino, that the man who was the Yavam and the woman who was the Yavama, they did the chalitza, so to say, by themselves in private, Beino leveino. So how can that be a chalitza miyadana? How would anybody know? So Yehuda and Rishmuel, the Edim were also Mibchotz, because you have Edim watching from the outside. They weren't inside in the jail, as we'll see, but they watched from the outside, so they were Edim. Shmuel says, Yibayelu, they asked the following Shailah, where did this Maisa take place? Maisa Shecholtzu Beino Leveino Abroi. Did this Maisa take place outside the jail? Uba Maisa Lepnei Rabbi Akiva Beveisa Asurim, and he then paskened that it was good when he said inside the jail, that he was told about this Maisa, but the Maisa occurred outside the jail. Or Dilma, maybe not. Maisa Shecholtzu Beino Leveino Beveisa Asurim, that the Maisa was in the Beveisa Asurim, and then it came to Rabbi Akiva, and he paskened that it was acceptable. So I'm reviewing them with Rav, it was both. They're both. This Maisa between the Yavam and the Yavam occurred in the jail, and it was in the jail that Rabbi Akiva heard about it, and he paskined it. Tosus points out that many Svarim don't have the word u ba maisa. They don't have the vav u ba maisa bnei Rabbi Akiva, and just was ba maisa bnei Rabbi Akiva that it occurred in front of Rabbi Akiva, and that's why we suggest that both of them occurred in the Beis Asurim. And then Tosos brings down towards the end of the bottom Tosos, he says, Yeshlamar diodeya hagamara shabal lefonu beveis asurim. The Gemara knew that this mice occurred in the jail. Kedamar Yushami, like the Yushami tells us, that Rav Yochanan and Sandler, avar kume, that Rav Yochanan and Sandler came in front of the chavushim, in front of the jail, the Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva was, and Mach was, and he said out loud to go get the psak from Rabbi Akiva, V'yomar, man boy machten, does anybody need needles? Or man boy tzinorim, does anybody need these little tiny forks? These forks were used as part of the knitting process. And then he asked, Cholzo beino leveino mahu. And then he threw in, because again, this was under the watch of the Roman persecutors, and they wouldn't let them learn Torah. So he threw this in, and does anybody know if a chalitza beino leveino is good? Mahu, what's the locha? And odik le reshe min kabose. So Rabbi Akiva was able to, so to say, stick his head out in between the jail bars, and he said, Amale islcha kushin? Islcha kosher? Do you have over here anything that is kosher? Kushin is a play on the word of the part of the knitting process of these spindles. And so he said, do you have kosher? So in other words, he was implying that this chalitza, beino leveino, would in fact be kosher. With this beautiful story, this is a beautiful way to end the shir. With this, we conclude today's shir.